In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There are few things that are more tragic than when you see someone who has great talents and great potential, and they don't do anything with it. But this is especially true of the spiritual life, and every one of us has great potential to become a saint, even a great saint. But how many of us even consider that that's a goal that we should strive for? But the scriptures tell us that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. So if we don't become a saint, we're not going to heaven. So basically, that's really the only option if you're going to be a Christian, is to strive to be a saint and to live out our potential. In the gospel readings earlier this week from the Gospel of Mark, the Lord talks about what our potential is and what we should do and not do to realize that. In Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 21, it says, "And he said unto them, Is a lamp brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a lampstand?" We don't realize how much we depend on lighting and how much of a convenience we have in our time where we can just flip a switch and we have lights until you don't have it. But those of you who were in this area when Hurricane Ike blew through, you probably were without power for about 2 weeks, and you suddenly realized what a great convenience that was and came to appreciate it. And if you prepared ahead of time, you had things like flashlights and maybe a kerosene lamp, some candles, but you probably didn't have as many of those things as you thought. And so since you had a limited supply, you had to be careful about how you used it. But you came to appreciate the need for that when you had to get up in the middle of the night and walk across the house, how important those things were. You need to be able to find your way. You might have wanted to be able to read a book because you weren't really ready to go to sleep or used to staying up very late into the evening. But when you don't have any power, what you can do is a lot more limited. But you might have had that one lamp and you were reading by it, straining your eyes to read, and so you came to appreciate that. Well, in this saying of Christ, the lamp that we're given is the grace that God has given to us as Christians to live the Christian life. And when it talks about a bushel is a measure of grain, but it also refers to baskets that hold those measures. And so what it's talking about is taking one of those baskets and putting it over a lamp. It wouldn't make any sense when you have limited resources, when these things are not cheap, to burn a lamp, but to cover it up so that no one could see it and no one could gain any benefit from the light. And what the fathers tell us is that when you put the lamp under the bushel, that's referring to when we extinguish the light of the grace of God through gluttony, by being more focused on bodily pleasures, food, and not focused on the spiritual things, not putting things in their proper place. And when it talks about putting it under a bed, this refers to being lazy, to taking our ease. But when we put it on a lampstand, this is to live a God-pleasing life. And if we do that, then the light that's in us, the grace of God, will shine for all the world to see and to bring other people to that light. Verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret but that it should come abroad." A lot of times we kid ourselves and think that we can get away with things, but just recently we had the whole Ashley Madison website scandal where this website that was designed to facilitate secrecy and committing adultery was hacked and all the members were revealed. And there are a great many people who were very humiliated by what was discovered. There were people who you never would have guessed would have been involved in such a thing. There were even people who were ministers that were highly respected that were discovered to have done this. And I don't mention this to sort of pile on and enjoy the shame of these people, but simply to point out that just like those people's sins were brought to light and they were embarrassed, we need to be aware that the things that we do will be brought to light. That's true in this life, but it's especially true in the next. The day will come when all our hidden secrets will be revealed. And so the thing is, what do we want to have revealed? Because everything's going to be revealed about us, both the good and the bad. But what we want to do is to live the kind of life to where when the secrets of our hearts are revealed, that they are the good things rather than the bad. Verse 23, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." This is a phrase that the Lord often repeated. And what does it mean? Well, we all have ears. The only question is whether we are actually going to use them to listen to the words of the gospel. God could have just created us as beings that would do exactly what he told us to do without any free will, but he created us as free moral agents that have a choice. And we have a choice to listen or to not listen. Then beginning with verse 24, it says, "And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For to he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." You might remember the parable of the talents, where each of the servants were given a certain measure of money, and they were told to go and invest it. And the one that was given 10 talents got 10 more. The one that was given 5 talents got 5 more. But the one that was given 1 talent buried it in the earth, and he didn't do anything with it. And when his master returned, he took that 1 talent and gave it to the one that had 20. And so what this is talking about is whatever degree of attention we give to the hearing of the things of God, by that degree we'll receive benefit. And if you're lazy and if you don't pay attention, you don't apply yourselves to what you hear, you're going to receive very little benefit from it. And in the end, even that little benefit that you've received will be taken away from you. But if we're diligent in hearing, if we're eager to listen, and we're eager to apply ourselves to what we hear, then we'll be given even greater grace by God to become the kind of person that he wants us to be. Then we hear a parable that's the only parable that you find only in the Gospel of Mark that's not also repeated in the Gospels of Matthew or Luke. And that's the parable of the seed that grows secretly. And it's a simple parable, but it also has a very profound meaning. It says, "And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." The sower, the person that's planting the seed, is the preacher of the gospel who plants the seeds in the hearts of men. But it also could refer to each and every one of us who, by listening to the gospel and reading the scriptures and studying them diligently, plant the seeds of the gospel into our own hearts and souls. The tilling of the soil to prepare it for the seed, and the planting and the care for the plant provided by the farmer is the effort that God expects from us. There is a certain measure of cooperation that we have to provide, but that doesn't mean that we actually claim the credit when the crop comes, because we plant the seed, but we don't know what's going on after that. We only know that if we do certain things, we'll receive a harvest. But if we do our part, God will do the rest. And gradually, without our understanding it, he'll make that seed to sprout. St. Macarius the Egyptian says about this passage, "It's incumbent on one who expects to receive from God the seed of grace to first of all cleanse the earth of his heart, in order that the seed of the Spirit that falls on it should bear perfect and abundant fruits." So that refers to the weeding of our spiritual life, to getting rid of those things that would keep us from bearing fruit. And then Father Michael Pomazansky said this, "Thus all this new life, if only it is received inwardly, if a man sincerely desires to remain in it, if on his part he applies efforts to preserve it, acts in him with the mystical power of the Holy Spirit, although this invisible process can be almost unfelt by him." And then St. Justin Popovich talks about this passage, and he applies it specifically to the studying of the scriptures. He says, "The main thing is to read the Bible as much as possible. When the mind does not understand, the heart will feel. And if neither the mind understands nor the heart feels, read it over again. Because by reading it, you are sowing God's words into your soul. And they will not perish, but will gradually, imperceptibly pass into the nature of your soul. And there will happen to you what the Savior said about the man who casts seed on the ground and sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows while the man does not know it." We have to regularly sow the seeds of the gospel in our heart, and that is done very simply, and I keep repeating this in many sermons, but it is nonetheless true and important that we actually do this. But we sow the seeds of the gospel in our heart by attending the services regularly. The services have such a deep richness to them, and especially the vigil. Of course, in the liturgy, we receive the mystery of the Eucharist, and so we can't diminish the importance of the liturgy. But in terms of the instructional material that we get, there's so much in the vigil. And if you're not here for that, if you don't avail yourselves of that opportunity, there's so much that you're missing. But also, by preparing yourself to receive the mysteries, it's not enough to simply come and receive. As a matter of fact, it's a bad thing if you're coming and receiving the mysteries, but you're not properly preparing yourself by prayer, by fasting when there's a fast appointed, and also, of course, fasting for midnight if you're able to do it and don't have a health problem, and preparing yourself by prayer so that when you receive the mysteries, you do so as worthily as you possibly can. None of us is worthy in the sense that we are owed it by God, but we can receive communion in a worthily manner, according to the Scriptures. And we also have to diligently study the Scriptures and the lives and the writings of the saints. And we have so much more available to us, and it's so much more cheap than it ever was for any previous generation, and there's so much that's even free that you can just read online for nothing. So we have so little excuse, but we're distracted by so many other things in our life that really, when you think about their meaning, there's almost nothing there so often, so many hours that we spend for nothing, for no purpose, and we gain no profit. So think about that and put your time to better use. And if you tend the garden of your soul and you keep it free from the weeds that would prevent it from bringing forth fruit, which is wasting time, which are the kind of things that become snares to you spiritually, if you will do that, the kingdom of God will blossom in your heart and you'll eternally reap the harvest of salvation. Amen.